the next big thing from Mercedes-Benz invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and Rob Carlton.
Actor Rob Carlton is here. The class up the show a bit. And just before the intro there, we were having a discussion about what would be the best segment we could do to have us ripped off the air in the first 5 minutes of the show.
Absolutely.
Coprophagia Corner, you were pushing for.
Yeah, absolutely. Look,
I thought maybe a phone poll of which race steals the most.
Ah, good stuff. I've got a couple of
them. New Zealanders.
Yes, same here.
Or an hour of Jake Wall stories, you said.
Would that work? What I do have is Peter Andre's Coke tan. That's going to be good. The German police on the prowl for women who are stealing breast implants.
Yeah. And for the fourth day in a row, we're sizzling up, do you look like Kim Jong-il? Are we going to finally do that?
Today is the day. Robbie is the man.
I'm excited about that. I've been auditioning for the Kim Jong-il role.
Okay.
It's a nationwide search.
It's because he's looking for doubles to do the dirty work.
Absolutely. Yes. Aussies that look North Korean.
We've run out of...
We love to talk till the music runs out. Here at Get This.
It's just an infection that's locally contained, treatable with antibiotics.
That'd be Midnight Oil here at Get This. Last one for the week around the nation. I'd be Tony Martin serving the snacks in the sidecar. It's Ed Cavalier.
Hello, morning.
Bending the buttons to his inordinate will. It's Richard Marsland.
Marvin Hitch.
And a round of phony applause, if you would, for actor Rob Carlton.
Yeah. Great to see you all.
Let me just lay out the resume for those who missed the last time you were on. You've got great actors like you've got Russell Crowe, you've got Jeffrey Rush, you've got Shane Porteous. They've all won Oscars overseas.
Yes.
But have they, as Rob Carlton has, have they blown up the same building twice in two different episodes of Water Rats as two different characters?
I think not.
Have they been chased out of every fictional Australian town for trying to touch people up?
I think not. Have they gone toe-to-toe with Alf, the Reverend Bob, all these people? No, I think not.
Did you take on the Reverend Bob in this?
Reverend Bob and I went face-to-face.
Yeah, how'd that turn out?
Okay, sure, he got the upper hand, but I think I held my own pretty well for a young kid.
Who's the most beloved Australian, character that you've beaten up on?
Molly from A Country Practice.
Oh, really?
I'll do that to Molly.
What did she do to Molly?
Well, it was in her dying days. Look, I may have stolen the pig. There was Doris. There was a lot going on in Wandon Valley in those days. And you've got to remember that Wandon Valley doctors stole my testicle, Ed.
That's right.
So it's not that like I didn't have
You never got that back. It wasn't a two-parter.
No, I didn't. I could have got... If I'd gone to Burrigan where they'd sent it, I could have retrieved it. But
all testicles go to Burrigan eventually.
Now, I've known Rob years and years and years. Right. And the second time I ever saw Rob was at the Sydney University. They were doing an improv show at lunchtime, and it was packed house. It's always a packed house, 500 plus in the bar of a Thursday afternoon, rowdy and or drunk. And Robbie got up on stage with Andrew O'Keefe from Deal or No Deal, and they played theatre sports in a two-man team called Lick Me, I Know You're Dirty.
Ah, yes.
Wow.
Well, we went on to expand the Lick Me, I Know You're Dirty franchise.
How'd that go?
We included Adam Spencer as well, who you may have heard of. And the three of us did a show called Lick Me, I Know You're Dirty down at the Bat and Ball Hotel in Cleveland Street, Surrey Hills.
Right.
It was a fantastic show. Covered a lot of the current affairs.
you've obviously worked with Ed in the theatre sports sense. Renee, one of our listeners, has emailed saying, I'm a big fan of Ed's. We miss him at Sydney Uni Theatre Sports.
Ah, Renee.
Yes.
But ringing bells, is it?
Yeah. Oh, what, Renee or the gig?
Renee, I think, is what...
Keep going.
Okay. Something in a broom cupboard? Fine, I'll skip that bit.
Mate.
I was very disappointed to hear that he doesn't like Veronica Mars. What? When did we say that? Is that something we said, is it? What was he referring to, Veronica Marsland, our panel operator?
Looking extra windswept today, Rich.
Yeah, no, I'm growing out the beard.
Have you done something? you're growing a beard.
Certain little something, a bit of moisturiser.
Oh.
What's the beard for? Is that for a sketch on Rose?
I wish, no, it's just...
Is that for Sex Office?
Look, no, it should be, really.
Let's cut to the chase, Rich. Yeah. I saw what happened when we were off air, friend.
Yeah,
You were flirting with Katie.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, mate.
Katie on the phone.
She came in here with three glasses of water. You've stopped everything. You've turned around with those dream boat eyes of yours. And you've looked her square on and you've said, I'd murder one of those waters. Honestly, mate, three plastic glasses of water doesn't normally constitute an opening for mine, but Dickie has spotted it and gone hard. And look, I don't want to bust your bubble here, friend. No. I don't think she responded.
No. You know what this is? Katie on the phones is leaving us.
I know.
She's going off to the big-time ratings wars in Albury.
I know.
Victoria.
So,
and so it's obviously it's a shore leave kind of arrangement.
Richie's woken up and pumped his hair full of the well of balsam.
And he's gone, you know, give her something to go on with.
Worn his best jumper.
Yeah, look at you today. Honestly, if I wasn't married with twins, Richard, having inappropriate thoughts for a husband and father right now.
We've got inappropriate thoughts coming up later in the show.
Oh, fantastic.
That's our new phone-in segment.
Is it?
Well, let's get off Mr. Mars's case for at least a couple of minutes.
You're okay.
And what recently on the resume, Rob? Where have you been?
Mate, I've been travelling all around this great globe of ours.
Where have you come from?
I've come from America.
Now, yesterday we had Lockie Hume back from Hollywood.
Okay, yeah.
Bitterness, resentment.
Doesn't get along with Toronto.
Acrimonious disputes, a go-go.
Yeah.
Smashed a phone.
Oh, awful.
Yeah. Libeled a few film producers.
Awful.
Most of them.
Made up some rumours about Screech.
Yeah.
Awful.
What is your view of the States?
I tell you, I come back here with a message of optimism and hope for your listeners, Tony Martin. I truly do.
We normally have one, it's every third week, try to slip one in.
No problems at all. Honestly, the world may feel like it's going mad and crazy.
Yeah, it does.
But we're actually on the right path, my friends.
Are we?
I visited Malibu when I was there, which is home of, our slightly anti-Semitic friend, Mel.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, two things on Malibu. Remember he said, I own Malibu.
That's right, he claimed that.
Absolutely fine. Malibu's a hole and he can have it. So don't you worry about that. Now, the next thing about Malibu, and this is where the optimism and hope comes from, I was at the beach in Malibu, obviously, you know, dining with some rich, high-flying friends of mine.
Sure.
And a woman with her dogs was coming along the beach. She came up to the balcony and she yelled out, excuse me, you got to call the Coast Guard right now. There's a seal over there and he's stuck in a rock.
A seal.
Call the Coast Guard. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to go and check this predicament out.
Yeah.
So I've wandered on down and I've seen, Tony, a seal on a rock.
Cute seal?
It was, well, let's not go there.
YouTube friendly?
You can read yes to that.
Yeah!
So I've gone down and had a look at this seal stuck on a rock.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the person that I was dining with has gotten to the Coast Guard. And he said to the Coast Guard, there's a seal, and the Coast Guard said, where is it? He said, it's on a rock. He said, rock surrounded by water.
Yeah.
And he's gone, yeah. And the Coast Guard says, okay, that's its habitat. I went down to the rock, right? I went down to the rock, and she said, I think it's Flipper, it may be caught. And the seals look at me and say, what are you doing here? this is my homey place, mate. And shortly enough, the woman with the dog, anyway, the dog got the shits with it all, has jumped up on the dog and barked at the seal. And the seal's just going, well, look, I've had enough of all of you. And he swam off quite happily. Now, the moral of that story and why it's optimistic, it's because the Americans want to help.
They do.
Yeah. They just don't know how.
That's true.
It's they spot something and they think, well, that's in trouble. It's not living in a five-bedroom condo. It's stuck on a rock.
That seal lacks SUV.
Absolutely. Where's its Humvee? So
we've got to reposition its brand.
Oh, dear Lord. So anyway, so that's America. They truly want to help. They've just got no clue.
That woman never thought that a seal might go on a rock before.
Honestly,
did she think that it was like a fish? I don't
know whether she thought it was a brother or a sister of hers, or whether it was a human in an odd shape called seal. It's hard to know.
So you're suggesting that the world hasn't gone as topsy-turvy as we may be thinking.
It hasn't gone mad. And in fact, the signs are that it's going to bounce right back, because I've just come from Coffs Harbour.
Right.
And the big banana up there, Tony.
Oh, how's the banana looking?
Five years ago, it was a ghost town up there.
Yeah.
I'm here to report, my friend, that Cyclone Larry is the best thing that's happened to bananas in this country.
That banana
you
is
bumped
worth
the price of bananas up to $14 a kilo, and all of a sudden, Aussies want banana paraphernalia.
Yes, of course.
And we're talking.
It was cheaper to eat stuffed bananas.
Mate,
big banana, it might as well be made of gold.
A couple of years ago.
Bananas in pyjamas covered in bling these days. So full of themselves. Talking to other people.
A couple of years ago, they were thinking of painting that big banana brown.
Not anymore.
To make it what? Old and useless. But it's back, my friends, and it's beautiful. Not only are they eating chocolate frozen bananas, right? Banana smoothies, banana sundaes, okay? The merchandising shop is full of people. And we're not just talking key rings and tea towels, Tony.
No.
Oh, my God, there's banana towels.
Oh, yeah,
you've got
yeah.
banana full things. You've got banana headdresses, banana clothing.
Say, banana hats.
Like yeah, and it's not like the car park's just full of, you know, three massive buses full of bogans.
Yeah.
We're talking that have just, you know, sort of falsely packed the place in some contra deal with a holiday destination.
Nothing of that much.
We're talking hundreds and hundreds of privately registered vehicles.
Wow.
All of these people have made independent decisions to wake up that morning and say, I'm going to make my day a little better today. I'm going to visit the Big Banana.
Wow.
Great.
That's good to know that that's going on out there.
Good exhibition, the Big Banana.
Look, honestly, it's something that brings hope to the kids of Australia, and it reminds adults of what it was like to be young.
But then again, wacky behaviour is busting out all over.
What's
This is the kind of stuff that is going on out there.
What's happened?
Tokyo. Listen to this.
Oh, yeah.
The leader of a right-wing group in Japan was arrested this week for allegedly sending one of his own fingers through the mail with a threatening letter to a North Korea-affiliated group in Tokyo. 27-year-old man said he cut off his right pinky finger and sent it to the head of the Korean Residents Association in Japan just to let him know.
Just to let them know
that we're not happy with the potential nuclear testing.
Not that unhappy, though.
And normally you send someone else's finger through the mail when you're issuing a threat.
Yeah.
Not your own finger.
Oh, mate, and if you're going to make a statement, make it your thumb.
Or the middle finger. Yeah. Send the middle finger.
What if they do nine more tests? What if Dr. Ego can he'll be stumpy. Old Stumpy's unhappy.
Yeah, he'll just be a writhing torso by the end of this.
Yeah, he'll be picking his nose with his wrist, friend, and that's not pretty.
What do you learn, though? If someone sends you a finger in the mail, as protest, if I didn't like Windswept's panelling anymore, and I sent him a pinky just to let him know, what kind of message is he going to get? What's it going to stop him?
It would depend what cover note you put with it.
Right.
Don't make me send me, you know, that's what's going to be.
Right.
Yeah. Don't you? You've got to make sure that you look fantastic.
I'll send more!
Rich, what do you reckon, Rich? If I sent you a pinky in a strongly worded letter, dear Windswept, you know, your button pushing's really starting to get to me.
Try using this to push the buttons with.
Yeah, try using this to push the buttons with, and then get back to me, and then obviously a return address. Mm-hmm. Well, how would you take that?
Well, I prefer that you would send me one of your ears, like Vincent van Gogh, like that.
Really?
Yeah, so then you can really say it with love.
And then just more and more postbacks start arriving. Panel better or sit on this.
And then you can reassemble me in your house, like a puzzle.
I think you'd be a stronger statement to send Windswept one of his own fingers.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
All right. Well, that's what's going on out there. Severed fingers and banana work. I think we're away. Sorry. Nikki is sending me all of her fingers at once. That's how far we are late already. Here, get this. That's enough out of you, Chili Peppers, with Rob Carlton, our co-host today, just, going for a Gurning Festival record, I reckon.
Look, you know, I've got one of those faces built for Gurning.
Hey, that's going to be handy because we're doing lookalikes.
Yeah,
that's coming up later.
Oh, good.
As we climb Talkback Mountain. No, if you've just joined us, it is Get This.
Being here, so lucky.
It's a voice from the past.
I don't remember who he is, but I just feel angry. What is it?
I am not sure who that was.
Yeah.
Somebody we used to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Rob, you've been overseas with some film you made.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, it's the same six-minute film that I've been waggling around the country with for the last few months. Carmichael and Shane, my six-minute film about a single father of twins that chooses a favourite child.
Right. Where have you pitched it? Where has it gone?
Man, we've just been into the Rocky Mountains at Colorado in Telluride.
How'd you go?
Mate, it went gangbusters. And
hang on, when you do a short film, though,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, then people aren't just coming along. There's not red carpet for 6 minutes.
No, happily, it was attached to the winner of the Berlin Film Festival, Russian film called The Italian. Worked that out. But so everyone wanted to see The Italian, but by default, they had to sit through our film.
Wow.
It was excellent.
Well done.
Yeah, that's how to find an audience.
And
piggyback on someone else's greatness.
How'd it go?
Mate, it went gangbusters. We got a write-up in the Wall Street Journal.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Is there a lot of references to the Dow Jones in this film?
You know, I've got a couple of economic imperative references in there just to satisfy Joe Morgenstern, Wall Street Journal critic. They covered the Telluride Film Festival, and there's some incredible movies get premiered at this. It's a very prestigious film festival. And then they cover all these great films like Babel and Last King of Scotland and all of them.
Screech's sex tape
wasn't there. But it was actually, there was a lot of talk about it there. And so anyway, the Wall Street Journal guy, Jogan Morgenstern, covers the whole of the Telluride Film Festival and gives a paragraph to our little film.
And what kind That's of great. Stuff? Did you get like some quotes you can put on?
I did actually.
Back of the
tone. I did. I've got them written on my back in sort of in life-lasting ink. Yeah, it just says, well, our film cost about $20 to
and
make.
And just turn around for a second if you could, Rob.
Oh dear lord.
Tour de force, Triumph. That's fantastic.
Yeah, no, he said a lot of nice things. So yeah, no, we've had a good run with critics. Lately.
Oh look, how do you go with the critics, Ed? Do you copy?
Mate, I've never really had done anything of note to get to...
No, there was one, somebody put on your Wikipedia page, Ed did a play at university, and it was described, the review said, best seen as an exercise for developing actors.
Yeah.
What play was that, Ed?
That was Lucky down at the ATYP, Robbie.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that probably counts as a panning, does it?
I guess so.
I've only ever had one that was a panning.
Well, you're in Boytown. The two of us.
We're both in Boytown.
We're both in Boytown. We have three lines each in Boytown.
Yeah.
The big premiere tonight, and the film has copped it from Empire magazine.
What's happened?
The bloke called Simon Jones has gone to town.
Hi, Simon.
But isn't he a broken-down English cricketer?
Wasn't he in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
He's all of those things. Jones.
Oh, dear Jesus. And here he is writing the film.
But have a listen to this review. What he goes, hard to think that once upon a time Mick Molloy was involved in two of Australia's edgiest comedy shows, The Degeneration and The Late Show.
I didn't even realise you were edgy, Tony. I thought you were nerdy.
We were edgy when we were doing all those fart jokes.
I thought you were nerdy.
Apparently.
Okay. Yeah.
See, that's the premise that he needs for this review to work. The idea that we were sort of like The Chaser.
And you guys were renegades.
We were Chris Morris. Somebody
You did offend a lot of, you know, Mr. Whippy Van people.
In those days, we had a scant concern for family-friendly laughs, and it set up the careers for the likes of, and listen to this, so he knows all about us, apparently set up careers for the likes of Rob Sitch, Jane Kennedy, Rob G.
Who's Rob G?
Santo Chilaro and Molloy. So he doesn't even know who we are.
Okay, so
Rob G.
Andrew G's brother, I think.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Just as good.
Little known.
Each of us has since veered increasingly into mainstream territory.
That's true, Tone.
Where subverting the norm isn't as much a concern as appealing to the lowest common denominator. Yeah. So, for this review to work, the idea is we were like really edgy, sort of experimental artists on The Late Show. And now we're just doing mainstream comedy.
You are a sellout.
Except that we were on Triple M for 5 years before we did The Late Show.
Yeah, no, listen.
Doing the most commercially broad comedy imaginable. Yeah. Mm. And what do we actually do on The Late Show? We dubbed fart jokes over old episodes of Bluey.
Which was great.
Took the piss out of late night ads.
Yes.
Had an incompetent stuntman.
Yes.
Like, you know, Paul Hogan used to in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm.
I mean, it's a great show. It's probably the favourite thing that I've done. But it wasn't really, except for working with Ed Gavely.
Thank you.
But... it's hardly edgy.
No.
It's hardly radical gear.
No.
Playing old clips from Countdown and saying, look at those ridiculous pants.
No.
Tony, you've convinced me.
But apparently...
You suck. You suck.
But apparently...
I thought you were all right before this. Now I feel like going and taking a shower, mate.
And that's because you're disappointed with the career developments of Rob G.
I'm disappointed with a hell of a lot now. I came in with a message of optimism and hope. And in one-minute spray, you've taken my heart and you've ground it to dust.
That's what we do.
What's Simon Jones's number? I'm going to go hook up with him and have a coffee.
Well, maybe you could give him a call and ask him who Rob G is. Because apparently his career has gone
to shit. Well, perhaps he can make the troika for our...
On it goes. Boytown continues this journey, which doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Calling to mind other Molloy films such as Bad Eggs, Crackerjack and The Brush Off. The Brush Off was a telly movie based on a Shane Maloney novel written by John Clarke, directed by Sam Neill, which Mick had a small supporting role in.
Yeah, that's a Molloy production, Tone.
That's of a piece with Crackerjack, apparently.
Yeah, it's the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Then, in reference to Boytown, he says the parodying of boy bands is throughout and not without its humour to the point where this can be considered a This Is Spinal Tap for the boy band generation, but where Christopher Guest managed to flesh Spinal Tap into a multi-layered complex parody. What do you mean? Rob Reiner directed Spinal Tap. So you've got a film director who thinks that Mick Molloy wrote The Brush Off.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, we see where
that Christopher Guest directed Spinal Tap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That someone called Rob G
has
a career that's gone down the toilet.
That's true, though. He's G. If Robbie G, if you're listening, you know, get off the gear, man. Get back to your edgy days.
So we're not subversive enough.
No.
Here's a subversive idea. Yeah. Hiring someone to write a film review knows nothing about movies or comedy.
Wait a second.
And putting it in your national magazine. That's edgy.
That's not a bad idea. Mm.
So, Simon Jones, if you want to give us a call and tell us how you got the job, despite knowing sweet FA about anything at all.
I know a little bit about
getting
jobs that you know sweet FA about.
Oh, that's true.
That's your thing.
We can't really point the finger on this show, can we?
That's your thing.
Because that's my go.
Yeah.
Robbie once gave me a job and I knew.
As a masseuse. He was terrible.
Yeah. Oh, well,
as
come
a
on.
Masseuse?
At the start, the Hot Rocks were nice.
They were.
And the ending was happy, to say the least.
It was, it was a happy day. A happy day, Ed Cavalier.
Are you sitting here, though, like a lot of our newer listeners in Newcastle, Rob, and wondering exactly how Ed did get this job?
Ed, like a lot of our Newcastle friends, I'm wondering.
They call in and they go, we do enjoy Ed's antics.
Do we?
The sizzle for segments that never seem to happen.
Yeah.
We love it.
Yeah.
But how did he get the gig?
Lying.
And we have had a lot of requests to replay the Ed Cavalier documentary.
We played the first week.
The very first show we ever did.
Which I was quite mute when we first started.
Yeah. Mm. Because really all you'd done on the radio was crosses from the Black Thunders.
Cans of Coke.
And have we got one of those here? Have a listen.
Good morning, Triple M Street Team. Out and about on the street. Heffron Park is where you'll find us this morning. So come and grab
there
the free stuff. Coca-Cola Zero, Zero Sugar Maximum.
Take that is the early work of Ed Cavalier.
And I shocked the best pizza
that's
in the world.
That's quite enough.
Heavens above.
The trick is not to hit the product, right? Don't hit the, like, let's say we were...
You hit the end.
Rob Carlton's body oil, right?
Yeah,
let's say we were flogging that.
Mm-hmm.
The trick is not to go, Rob Carlton's body oil. You know, you've got to... When you say what the benefits are, Rob Carlton's body oil helps you feel like Rob Carlton.
Oh, you know,
be as smooth as Rob Carlton.
Oh,
Rob
go.
Carlton's body oil, be as smooth as Rob Carlton.
Oh, is that how it works?
Because you want the message in their mind.
Well, there's more to it. We're sitting here laughing at those live crosses, and there's a lot more to the art of it.
It seems there is. I think Novocastrians want to hear more.
Well, that's it. When I didn't realise how seriously Ed was taken in the industry.
Yeah,
in our very first show 6 months ago, I went around and interviewed a few radio people, and here it is, Ed's early work.
It's amazing. You go to any radio station in this country and the talk around the water cooler is Cavalier. What's he got for us next? And you have to wonder, I mean, what's he working on?
He's an amazing performer, great energy, and just works a crowd.
I don't know where he gets it from, the patter, the gab, but he has got it.
At their roadshow every day this week.
I mean, he's the man.
Look, if I had to use one word, it'd be, tour de force.
I don't know, every time I go, you know, into an in-store or into just walking past a radio station, people are always just like, come on, you know, do a cross, and always coming up to me, asking me for, you know, drinks and CDs and stuff. Just do a cross, Ed, do a cross.
I've had announcers say to me that they're not going to go on after him, they can't follow it. I was at a function once and Lawsy took me aside and he just said, mate, I'm going to retire because if you're going to put that kind of thing to ear, crosses from the Black Thunder with Ed Cavalier giving away CDs, giving away prize packs, you know, nanopods, I mean...
Street team out and about at Marine Parade, and we've got the free stuff, Heritage Shop.
Alan Jones said to me that he feels personally inadequate. I don't think that's anything to do with Ed Cavalier, but it might be.
It's embarrassing apart from anything else. I mean, it's my work. It's not who I am.
It's all seat-of-the-pants stuff. I mean, he hasn't got a script. Hey, you know, it's just all coming out of his mouth. I mean, I don't know where he comes up with it. I'm amazed they haven't done a bloody a record, an album of it, because it's a bit hate to think it's all just going out the bloody ether and never going to be heard again.
I see all the new guys, I hear the tapes, they come in. None of them, in my opinion, have matched Cavalier. You go to one of his crosses, it's like, you know, bloody honey.
I love his energy for it as well, because a lot of people can be dismissive in that area, but he commits to it.
Catches today, 12 to 1, 15 minutes time.
Now, look, I used to work with Brian Berry in Brisbane, and he retired because of one of Ed's crosses. I mean, I remember he just had it on. It was 25 seconds in, and he just said, that's it. And I had his resignation on my desk before Ed had even given away the Alien Ant Farm album. It was tragic. A career in tatters. Yeah, look, if he's doing a cross, you know, they just come out of the woodwork from everywhere, you know, swarming. I mean, they know they're going to hear something concise, you know, and a bit of poetry in there as well. I mean, I was moved to tears once during one of his crosses from, it was an in-store by Wickfield, and I had to go and lie down in the back of the Thunder.
Oh, well, that's really flattering, but you know, the sad fact is that it's just not enough. I feel like I've got so much more to offer. There's a voice inside me saying,
you don't blow like the breeze you were born to be.
I mean, it's great being the best at this.
You die down in the trees and try and hide.
Time for Triple M Street Team out about a Marine Parade.
Will you witness the dark?
Live Cross of the Year.
All you need is a spark.
And the winner is...
A cathedral of torches light the night.
Edward Cavalli.
On your mark.
That's all well and good.
Here I am.
But there must be more.
I'm your spark.
So here I am, Tone.
Ed, can I just say, this is all sounding very gay.
What are you talking about?
Well, that, for example.
And it runs to you like a shallow, noisy stream.
Shallow, noisy stream. Right, that's enough. Turn that music off, Maddie.
Hey, nothing gay about a shallow, noisy stream, Tone.
Sorry, Ed. Go to the ID, please. Somebody.
Get this.
I'm as happy as I've ever been.
For the next big thing from Mercedes-Benz.
You're listening to Get This around the nation on Triple M or KOFM in Newcastle.
Ding.
And I think the podcast, it's a two-podcast week.
Oh, what have we got?
Rob Carlton is with us.
Hello.
Can you get into the podcast, Rob?
I do, actually. Yeah, I've just been given an iPod, so...
Oh, you'll like this. We've got so much up there this week.
What have we got? What have we
got? You've got the standard Get This Bacon Filled.
Yep.
That's got, what's in there?
Goosey Woozy?
No, Goosey, I don't think. Oh, Ben Folds. There's a bit of Ben Folds. There's a bit of Greg Fleet.
Yeah.
There's a bit of Brian Nankervis.
Yep,
a bit of Tony Wilson.
Great, bit of Snato Garro.
No Snato Garro this week. We're so behind on the podcast.
Why do we even bother?
The show's getting so long that the podcasts are getting further behind. So in order to alleviate the pressure, Podcastle is up there.
What's
our first show into Newcastle in its entirety.
Oh, right.
The Podcastle.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
It's for people who are like new to the show,
yep.
Can't work out what the hell we're talking about.
Yep.
Drink in the Podcastle and be brought up to speed.
Right. Now, the Shelbos, Ryan Shelbo Shelton from Your Real Stories, he's been tabulating all our running kind of gags, and he's going to, next time he comes in, we're going to do an explaining show where we explain all the nonsense that we got.
That'd be handy.
Very handy.
Because I can't follow a lot of what we're saying.
I've got no idea who Gary Cutthrough is. I know we talk about him, but I don't remember why we brought him up. You know?
Why are we so obsessed with caftans? I don't know. We need some help with our own show.
I tell you, it certainly would have helped me coming onto the show with a little, just to have a little cheat list.
Well,
have a little something that I could look at and go, oh, right, that's what's going on. But instead, I feel like I'm sitting in the corner.
Now, come on, Robbie. Come on, Robbie.
Music. That's what Robbie told me he wanted. Have we got some good musical guests? Is that true that John Mayer is coming on the show?
True.
A lot of people sort of emailed in wanting to know whether he really is. He's going to be duetting with Ed on Body is a Wonderland.
How am I going to delete that? How?
Tex and Tim, are they coming in? Are we getting Tex Perkins and Tim Rogers?
I hope so. I think so.
In negotiations. To put some clothes on and get in here. Robin Hitchcock, how's that for an unlikely person to hear on this station? Robin Hitchcock, singer-songwriter, is coming in on the show in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Dave Graney has brokered a deal so we can get Robin Hitchcock in here. It's all coming up, but, you know, the real music comes out of the mind of Ed Cavalli. What have you got for us? I mean, what do you
want
to hear?
Robbie?
I want, you know, I got a new genre of music I'd like to explore.
What's that one?
It's called breath rock.
What is breath rock?
Breath rock's kind of like your power ballad. Yeah. You'll often hear it as a soundtrack.
Oh,
it constitutes... heavy rock, generally long hair, a man on a cliff top, singing about love, right, with 80% breath, 20% rock.
Can you demonstrate a
classic example from one of those big Bruckheimer movies, right?
Yeah.
I walk, close my eyes, because I miss baby, and I don't want to miss a thing.
Oh,
now, do you hear that? There's not much rock, but a hell of a lot of breath.
A lot of breath.
Nights in White Satin.
Yes.
Does that count?
Oh, give us a bit.
Nights in White Satin, never reach to the end, something or other, something else,
because
I love you,
that's the exact
how I love you.
Lyrics.
That's that quite one? Beautiful, yeah. It's I would typify it more with a quivering bottom jaw.
Ah.
It's a bit like that breathy acting. Like, do your Sam Worthington in Macbeth for us.
Is this a dagger I see before me? Or one of the daggers of the mind?
Ah, very nice. That's
just
not dissimilar.
The way the bard wanted it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very similar. You know, he's in the season on his premiere.
Miss Russell Crowe is leading the charge for breath acting in this country.
Yeah, oh, he's
Alec Baldwin really brought it back into fashion. Yeah, yeah, Clint Eastwood invented breath acting.
Yes, he did.
Because they made the microphone so loud that he could just say nothing. And then Alec Baldwin, who just had a normal voice for years, and then suddenly started talking like this.
Get more close-ups.
Mm-hmm. Get more close-ups, that's what it's all about.
Simon Westaway was the great Australian exponent of it. Janus, Phoenix, and, you know, all these
things. Did he go the breath acting?
By the last scene that I did with Simon Westaway, and I'm a good friend of Simon's. The last scene I did with him, it was almost unintelligible.
It was lip reading all round.
I tell you what, it was threateningly tough, but difficult to decipher.
Breathy is all get out now.
Hey, Rich.
Yeah.
Do you think you could incorporate kind of breathy talk? See, I reckon Katie had come in early with that water and you'd said fully... I could murder one of those.
Just
one of those, mate.
Russell Crowe style.
Yeah, you'll find yourself in Albury next week, paneling someone else's show.
Here's your water, Rich.
I could murder a glass of water.
Oh, see, no. Well, you've ballsed it up with the pause.
Yeah, or a bit of.
I wanted to give a glass of water a bit of gas. I wanted to underline it.
Nah, that's
show
again. Just.
Did you learn nothing from Ed earlier in the show? Yeah. It's not about the water.
No, I never.
It's about the effects the water has.
You ready, Rich?
I could murder a glass of water.
Ooh, there you go.
Pretend that you're Russell Crowe. Pretend you've got an axe in the hand and you're about to launch into a toe fog classic.
Mm.
Two sugars, thanks, love.
There you go.
That's the way to do it.
That was gravitas. Yeah.
The show's almost over. What music have you got for us here?
I'm going to play some... I've played this a lot. Jeez, I've played this a lot. Let's just start looking at the guitar, and I'm going to play piano with my face. 2, 3, 4. Here I go. I'll probably crack it on piano.
I think you need your own music jury.
Sorry, guys.
That'll be Paul Kelly.
Good stuff.
It's Get This Around the Nation. Rob Carlton, actor Rob Carlton, is our guest today.
Tony. Yeah.
And we're brought to you by the next big thing from Mercedes-Benz. No idea what it is. They're going to tell us on Monday.
Oh, is it?
We're hoping it's a van that can talk.
You read my mind.
And if it talks, it's got to have one of those Russell Crowe voices.
Turn right at the next lights.
Nice flannies, mate. Just could compliment you as you're driving along.
Nice flannies, that's good.
Yeah.
Or it could talk in like, it's horn to be.
Oh, hang on. Are we getting to the good bit of this? Turn it up. The synthesis. Oh, isn't that good? Do you reckon David Hasselhoff himself played that riff?
Oh, man. What if he just woke up screaming in the night? Like, he sat up in his bed, crawled upright one night, and he went to the synthesizer that he sleeps with and just banged it out?
Fantastic. Hey, let's get up the mountain.
We are so late. We've never been so late.
Jeez, I reckon, the next shift's not looking like it's going to be very long, is it?
No, if you're doing a show after this...
I'd take a break.
Yeah, have another coffee.
Yeah. Go to solarium.
Get into the solarium. How do we run so late? Because I was ranting on about that review. Has that guy called yet, Simon Jones?
No, I talked.
This bloke has written a scathing review of Boytown.
Yeah.
Claiming there's someone called Rob G, who was in the D Generation, claims that Christopher Guest directed Spinal Tap.
Yep, no, it didn't happen.
Claims that Mick Molloy wrote The Brush Off.
You know, it's funny because incompetency is something that I like to think that I've made a bit of a career out of.
Sure.
But he's making us all look bad.
I can't believe you haven't met him.
He's not the same.
But wouldn't they have editors? Like, wouldn't the editors go through the review?
They're often people like me as well. You know what I mean? Yeah, we're everywhere. We're like, you run
this town.
Yeah, the secret handshake of the incompetence.
We have people everywhere.
Yeah, we are watching and screwing things up.
Let's talk about lookalikes. That's what we're going to do. Why? Because, as I've been hinting at all week, the eccentric North Korean dictator Kim Jong-il has hired doubles to carry out his more mundane tasks. While Mr. Kim attends major state occasions, two men stand in for him. On routine visits to tractor factories and farms.
Are you kidding me?
They are the spitting image of Kim, the same age, the same height, with the same Buffon hairstyle and pot belly, a South Korean news agency says. They are trained to behave like him and have even had plastic surgery to enhance the resemblance.
Yeah. How's that? Something he doesn't want to do. Oh, not another tractor factory. Yeah. Yeah. And you can send B1 out.
Can we make anything else apart from tractors?
I do it. I do it. I'm not me. Robbie? I'm not me.
That's a
stretch. This was the get this on my calendars was one of my mundane tasks.
Yeah.
So I got my double to come along here today, and it's lovely to see you.
It's Rob Jong-il.
Absolutely. I'm actually a North Korean actor.
The wife wants to have sex with me again. Send him in.
Yeah, I've got the energy for this.
Best of luck, bro.
Anything though.
Yeah,
if you had to have a colonoscopy, you just send him in to do that.
I'd take that.
Yeah,
that's
a good idea.
You'd be up for that one.
Oh man,
I'll take care of this one, fellas.
There's some stuff in life a man's got to do by himself.
Okay, so we're saying.
Okay.
We're not saying what would you do if you had two lookalikes. That's probably a good phone in, but no.
Not bad as well.
Yeah.
Dear
dovetail
Lord.
With that? No, we haven't got time for
sorry.
Barely got time for the program.
Okay.
We want to know who is your lookalike. Who do you look like? Yeah. Who do you get mistaken for?
We've got on our website, Robbie, which I probably should have brought up at this point. We've got a number.
Up on the screen right
now. Let's not talk about that. I told you we're everywhere. Is that I look like Chris Klein, the GE Money Genie. Yep. And my new one, which I think is really good, is K.D. Lang.
You look like KD.
Yeah, I got a real strong touch of the KDs about me.
Well, God bless you.
Well, it's 133353. People are always starting to call. Tone, you get a number of fictional characters.
I get Wally. I get the Computers for Dummy guys.
Yeah.
I get James Valentine, another fictional character.
Yeah, and Robbie?
Oh, mate, I cross states and codes. I get Sterlo, and I get Jacko.
They're great.
Yeah. So, which, okay, for the listener, you've not got a pretty picture in your mind at the moment.
Jeez, it must be weird for your wife when
I am like
you
the love child.
And it's Jacko playing your double.
Mate, I'm like Jacko and Sterlo's love child.
That's a weird image.
It's not a pretty business.
That's a very... Still a Jacko's love child.
I know. My wife has a stomach of iron.
I still get Andrew Denton, even though we don't look anything the same.
Are you kidding us? But your peas in a pod. If I caught you two kissing, it would look like a single-celled organism trying to split.
The weirdest one was I got when Andrew Denton's father passed away, I had three people stop me in the street and offer condolences. And they got so far into it that I couldn't...
Did you pass them on?
I had to keep going with it because I went, I can't.
But did you pass them on to Andrew?
I faxed him, yeah.
Yeah, good idea.
That's nice.
Good idea.
Took out some Skyride.
The love wasn't lost.
Robbie, you were brought up, you said if you ever caught Tony and Andrew Denton kissing.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
That did slide right by.
it was just for a pilot. Something the ABC had an idea for.
Yeah. And it's not something that you would expect to be strangely titillating.
No.
But there you are.
We'll do anything for ratings.
Week.
What about Mr. Marsden?
Yeah,
who do you get mistaken for?
When I have a shaved head, Ewan McGregor.
Yeah. Oh, I can see that.
When do you have a shaved head?
When I'm crawling out of toilets.
Of course.
And making bad American film choices.
Mate, let me assure you, shave your head, because the look that's going on now is a far cry from Ewan McGregor.
More proclaimers than Ewan McGregor at the moment.
If you want to get on the Hume Highway up to Albury to be panelling Katie's desk this week, then you're going to be doing a much better job with Ewan McGregor lookalike than old
take
wavy
it from
face.
Jacko knows these things.
Hey. Oi! Katie on the phones is leaving us next week.
Yeah,
she's going to co-host next Friday.
Yeah, next Friday.
We're going to get her in here on this side of the microphone.
Great.
Has anyone called, though?
Oh, mate, it's chock-a-block. 133353 is the number. Keep calling. Saying, hello, Paul.
Oh, hi,
hang on. We forgot we're going to do the Creed thing, Tone. I really want
hang on, you're
that.
Paul. You got
save
Paul
it for
on the
meeting.
Line.
Hello, Paul.
Hi, Paul. Who do they tell you look like?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, yes. Bro.
Yeah, I've been told, and what's worse, it was on Valentine's Day, I got told that I look like Patrick Swayze.
Oh, dear Lord.
That's great.
But the ladies, you know, a lot of the ladies still like Mr. Swayze.
Mm.
Yeah, and nobody puts baby in the corner.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Oh, mate, nobody puts baby. Tell me, Paul, are you a 4'3" gnome-like creature?
What's funny is that I also got told I look like Robin Williams, so we're...
Robin Williams and Patrick Swayze.
You're a nasty little creature, aren't you, Paul?
I'm actually 6'2".
Oh. You're 6'2". I take that back, Paul. Yeah, you sound like an attractive man.
And an incredibly...
Thanks, Milsey. No worries.
That's right.
and,
Paul.
Okay. Have we lost Paul?
Yeah, I don't talk to Paul anymore.
Get out of here. No nobody puts Ed in a corner.
He's still there. Well, what's happening up top? I mean, have you got the mullet going?
No. Just a normal short back and sides. Never had a mullet.
Well, there's a mistake.
Was there a film where he had the short back and sides?
No, he's always mulleted.
A Roadhouse or something like that.
Roadhouse. Yeah.
That was a fantastic. That was some of his finest work.
Yeah. Hello, a lot of Roadhouse fans call in, which is weird. Hello, Pete. How are you?
Not bad, guy. Yourself?
Oh, we're great, mate. Who do you get?
I get a really bad one. I got told I look like Kim Beazley.
Oh, and how severe is the resemblance?
Yeah, is this 140 kilo Kim Beazley or 180 kilo Kim Beazley?
Oh, I'm 140 kilos myself.
Well, I didn't mean to bring it up.
And do you have a copy of our Kim Beazley theme music queued up in your car?
I don't, as a matter of fact, but I like it.
If anyone wants it, it's the theme to the movie The Taking of Pelham 123.
It's on our website. There's a link to it on our website, on our Wikipedia page.
If you go to the Wikipedia page, yeah. We don't have the rights. So you
also got another one.
Yeah.
When you're saying about the shaved head earlier, when I shave my head, I kind of resemble a Rolly dog.
A Rolly dog? Oh, the Sharpay.
A Sharpay.
Oh, that's cute.
A Kim Beazley and a Rolly dog.
There you talking.
Maybe you split personality.
Maybe his new Kim Beazley's new election ads. He should just be frolicking with toilet paper and people might be a little bit more...
Frolicking with toilet paper with this music going. There we go. Vote one Beazley.
Hey, Peter, thank you, sir. Hello, Michael.
Hey, how you doing, mate?
I'm excellent. Who do you get?
People tell me that I look like Shrek.
Oh, you and Laurie Oakes.
My condolences. Mick Meredith, the Aussie comic, looks a hell of a lot like Shrek as well. Tell me, do you guys have, like, conventions that you go to? Like, cartoon look-alike freaks?
No, we haven't had that, but... Yeah, I paint myself green sometimes.
And Shrek has a Scottish accent, does he not? Can you do that?
I'm not good with the voices.
Hey, Michael, well, before Shrek came out, well, who did you get before that? Because I always wonder, because Shrek's a fairly new one. So did you get someone...
Uncle Fester!
I bet you were glad Shrek came along.
So all the Uncle Festers upgraded to Shrek when that film came out.
Oh, without a shadow.
Thank you, Michael. Hello, Robbie.
Hello.
And who do you get, sir?
Hello.
Yeah, no. Hello.
It's been a couple of years now. I get someone else now, but I'll get to that. But I used to get Hugh Grant.
That's great!
Oh, is that because of your startling resemblance? Or
even the hair.
That's great.
I bet that's your story, isn't it, mate? I look like Hugh Grant. That's ladies, hello. No, mate, you don't look like Hugh Grant. You look like every other Aussie knob, that's trying to pick up. Guys like you, right, that convince yourselves that you're good-looking English fops sicken me, friend. Honestly, no. Let's call a spade a spade. I'm sorry.
You're being heckled by a bloke who looks like Sterling. We should play that. Robbie,
just tap him on the scone for me, would you?
We can do that. No worries.
My balding scone.
Have you used the resemblance to your advantage?
How could you use Hugh Grant as an advantage?
Some of the ladies go for that gear.
Hugh Grant
loved it. I'm often asked to just go into a bit of absolutely lovely.
Yeah.
Delightful.
Certainly. Yeah. Well, if you ever meet Divine Brown, there's an end.
Oh, she's a delightful woman.
Hey, Robbie, who do you get now?
Bit of Crawf, apparently.
Who?
Crawf.
Who's Crawf?
Shane Crawf.
Yeah.
What does he do?
I knew a footballer. How's that?
Oh, he's a footballer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But he doesn't really look like
Hugh Grant.
I know.
Is that right? Have you had some work done, Robbie?
No. Yeah. It was when I've been out before, so lights are a bit dark, a bit late in the morning, so...
Oh, right. Oh, you're one of those shadow dwellers.
It was dark. I was in the back seat of a car.
Yeah.
Something going on.
Hugh Grant.
Hello, Robbie. Hello, David. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Excellent. Who do you get?
Mate, I get little Anthony Kalea.
Anthony Kalea.
And are you little and can you sing?
Not at all. I've got my European background and I do live in Werribee too, so that my hairdresser gives me heaps all the time.
So that's fantastic. If Anthony Kalea is looking for a body double, it could be you. I'm sure he'd have heaps of mundane things in his diary.
I'm not taking a bullet for him, that's for sure.
Fair enough. David, do you reckon there's a lot of people planning assassinations of Anthony out there?
No comment, mate.
Okay,
you're going to have to send us your address and details.
Stay on the line, Dave.
Sergeant Carlton wants a few words.
I'm not being alert.
He's affiliated with the Water Rats.
Yeah, mate, you watch out. I'll come to your place and knock it over with an axe.
What were you going to say there, David?
Cheers, boys. Thanks very much.
Take care, mate. Thanks for being our final have call for nice, the week, David.
Nice
we wound up the week with lookalikes. Thanks to everyone who called in. Thank you very much, Rob Carl.
No, thanks for having us.
With this film, you mentioned it. What's it called?
Carmichael and Shane. It's just a little one. We'll have it out soon. You can download it and get go nuts.
Oh, download it. That'll be the way to see that. Excellent work. Do you got anything you want to plug that's coming up? Come on. You must
no, mate, we're getting close to my TV show, so more of that in the next couple hilarious. Of weeks. We'll see how we go.
The Rob Carlton Hour.
Hilarious. We're getting close.
That'll be coming. It's our final show for the week. I must thank Richard Marsden pushing the buttons. The delightful Katie on the phones. The exceptional Matt Dow from the Pots and Pans in the basement. And the incredible Nikki Hamilton making sure it doesn't fall off the rails. The knob jockeys around the network. Ed Cavalier, a pleasure as always.
Kate Martin, an absolute pleasure. Sizzle merchants all.
And our key phrase today, I reckon it was that line of yours as Sam Worthington. Hit us with it.
Is this a dagger I see before me? Or one of them daggers of the mind?
And we'll be back on Monday with Greg Fleet!
Oh dear!
Of course!
Oh dear.
And it's all thanks to that next big thing. What is it from Mercedes-Benz? Now it's all out and you know!
Righto. Job done.
I'll say. Thanks, Spunky.